This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Francisco Martinez-Cuello. Bethel Jr. Isabel Lieb won the Alaska Student Athletic Association State Wrestling Tournament in the 138-pound girls' weight class to win her first state title. Lieb defeated Daisy Hannevold of Soldotna 13-3 in the championship match Saturday night at the UAA Alaska Airlines Center.
It feels awesome. All my hard work paid off in the end.
Lieb placed fourth last year at state as a sophomore. She did not place at all as a freshman, but she said she's dreamed of winning state since sixth grade when she saw her brother win a state title and was determined to take it this year.
Every match I wrestled was tough. None of the matches were given to me. I had to work my hardest, and just having confidence in myself and believing I could win really helped.
Peyton Boney of Bethel defied expectations. The junior was seeded sixth at the 145-pound division, but earned the state runner-up after advancing to the championship match with a come-from-behind pin in the semifinals. Bethel junior Emily Mattson placed third, claiming her final place in a dramatic 23-10 victory in the consolation final to help the Bethel girls win fourth place in team scoring with 81 points, narrowly besting Colony and Service High by 2 points each and beating Palmer by six. Lathrop won the girls' division with a dominant 179.5 points, followed by other large schools, North Pole in second and Soldotna in third. In girls wrestling, all schools and athletes compete against one another, regardless of school size. Bethel was the only smaller school to crack the top five. In the boys' Division II tournament, Bethel junior Paul Diamant and sophomore Alvino Vasquez advanced furthest for the Warriors, both placed as the state's runners-up, winning all their matches with the exception of the final. Junior Patricio Vasquez placed fifth and Jonathan Oscar in sixth in their weight classes. As a team, the Warriors scored 100 points and placed third overall. Coach Lieb, who's used to winning state, said the young Bethel team made a good showing this year.
We put ourselves in position to, you know, in fact, win it. You know, we're 10 points down this morning, but we just didn't have a good morning to begin with and just kind of kept going from there. And but, you know, we're young. We have a lot of returners coming back. But, yeah, it was a good tournament for our kids to a lot of first-time experience in the state tournament. But, you know, we just got to keep getting better.
Coach Lieb is the father of Isabel, the new state champion. For a coach with dozens of championship victories, he says this one will be among the most memorable.
That's very special. For her to win it like that was, you know, the way she did in that fashion was pretty dominant, I felt. I mean, everything she did, she dictated, and, you know, she knew what she wanted to do. She had her goal that she wanted to accomplish, and for her to do that was, I had a lot of compliments from, you know, people texting me and stuff, and just fun to watch, and, you know, the way she jumped on me afterwards is, yeah, very special.
Coach Lieb says he'll be returning next year with all of his top placers from this year, including his new state champ. 19-year-old Raymond Alexi of Queethluck coasted to victory in the first race of the Kuskokwim mushing season in impressive fashion, besting the second-place finisher, veteran Pete Kaiser of Bethel, by 14 minutes. Jackie Larson from Napaskiak came in third place. 21 mushers competed in the 32-mile race, which ran over the tundra trail from Bethel to Atmatluk and back. Racers reported varied conditions, with the trail being quite good close to Bethel, but severely windblown as they got closer to Atmatluk. Some teams struggled to cross large lakes of glare ice as they were battered by a significant crosswind. With his victory, Alexi gets off to a great start in the new Delta Championship Series, posting 10 points for the season-long competition. He also took home a check for $2,700, the top prize for the day's race, which had a total purse of $20,000, split among the top 15 finishers. Last Friday, December 16th, the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, issued determinations on fishery disasters that occurred in numerous Alaska fisheries, which includes the Kuskokwim River salmon runs of last year. This allows Alaska fishermen to receive critical relief funding. The funding can be distributed to fishermen and their crews, seafood processors, and research initiatives in the impacted regions. U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan and Representative Mary Sattler Peltola welcome the declarations, which cover closed crab fisheries for next year, but do not yet cover this year's poor salmon runs on the Kuskokwim. Peltola called it, quote, an important first step, but added that more will need to be done. I will continue to work with Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan, she said, to secure additional funding needed to provide relief to the Alaskan fishing communities impacted by poor returns and closed fisheries while stocks have a chance to recover. Senator Murkowski said these crashes in fish stocks, quote, are not only devastating to Alaska's fishing and seafood industry and Alaskan families, but Alaska's economy as a whole. A press release from the Alaska delegation says that Senator Murkowski is using appropriations and legislation like the recent Senate-passed Alaska Salmon Research Task Force Act to push policy initiatives to help understand the underlying issues. Senator Sullivan said, quote, our great fisheries resources provide a pillar within Alaska's economy and culture. Now that a fishery disaster has been declared, we can work to secure appropriations to fund these fishery disaster declarations. Alaska may soon look to carbon sequestration, the process of capturing and storing atmospheric carbon dioxide, as a way to make money. The Alaska Beacon reports that Governor Mike Dunleavy plans to introduce a bill this upcoming legislative session aimed at turning the state's capacity to absorb and store carbon into a source of revenue. He says it could bring in several hundred million to $1 billion a year. Dunleavy says that depleted basins like Cook Inlet, as well as forests and coastlines, could make ideal locations for sequestering carbon. Meredith Trainer, executive director for Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, says she's encouraged by this announcement, but cautions that the devil is in the details. She says from her organization's perspective, the easiest way to increase carbon sequestration in Alaska is to protect the Tongass National Forest, which the governor may not fully be able to control. Dunleavy's recently released budget for the coming fiscal year does not include any expected revenues from carbon sequestration. And, speaking of that budget, Dunleavy's proposed budget for next fiscal year keeps education funding for public schools about the same as this year. Alaska school districts have decried the continued flat funding, saying it's leading to large budget deficits. Dunleavy says his proposal is a jumping-off point for legislators, and he expects the school funding amount could increase as they debate the issue.
For me to put a number in the budget, some will say it's too little, some will say it's too much. So what we've done is we've put forth a budget here on December 15th to begin that discussion.
Alaska schools are funded through what's called the Base Student Allocation, or the BSA. It's basically a dollar amount per student. Currently, it's around $5,900, the same number it's been since 2016. But because of inflation, flat school funding over the past several years essentially means that the money school districts have received has been worth less each year. That's something Dunleavy says he anticipates coming up in the legislature.
We do understand, and we look forward to having discussions with the legislature on what that education funding will look like going forward. We certainly understand there's inflationary issues that need to be addressed.
Senator-elect Kathy Geisel says she thinks school funding will definitely come up in the legislative session. She says the per-student funding is a complicated formula, and she doesn't have an ideal amount right now.
It's so complex that it's going to take a lot of attention and will take a lot of time for the legislature to actually review it, understand it, and make the appropriate revision. But we need to do it.
In total, Dunleavy's education budget is slightly smaller than last year's, likely due to declining enrollment across the state. The first day of the next legislative session is January 17th. It's been nearly a month since Bethel Search and Rescue completed its first river survey of the 22-23 winter season. The weather has fluctuated without a deep cold period yet, but with recent temperatures nearing 0 degrees in recent days, conditions have improved. Travel has increased and will continue to rise due to the upcoming holidays, which prompted BSAR to look at river conditions via snow machine, plane, and even truck. In the past weeks, teams have marked 8 open holes in the Bethel area. The smaller ones have frozen over. Currently, there are 5 holes still open, with the 2 closest ones marked, while 2 are unmarked. In order of closeness to Bethel, these holes are located in Joe Pete's Bend, lower end of the Gweek Island. 2 unmarked holes are along the east bank of the Kuskokwim, across from the upper end of Church Slough, and Kuskokwak Slough, from the upper end of Kweethluk Shortcut towards Wasili B. Evans Camp. About 29 miles below Lower Kalskag, the main channel below Edward Wise's Old Fish Camp is wide open bank to bank. On the tail of the snake, in mid-November, the open water between Kalskag and Aniak was 16 miles long. It has since shortened to 3 miles long after this past weekend. truck trails are opening up to the villages closest to Bethel. These early season truck trails always get established before the official plowed and marked ice roads start. They generally follow the snow machine trails and may or may not be marked with willows and white reflectors. The warning right now is to use these early truck trails with extreme caution. BSAR measured ice along the truck trail to Napaskiak on December 15th, ranging from 14 to 22 inches. BSAR also urges holiday travelers to be cautious, and the back trails may still be the best routes to use for now, especially in the Akyak and Tuluksak areas. Further upstream, more patience and colder weather is required. BSAR wishes everyone to enjoy the holiday season, but to be vigilant, sober, and safe travels. This is KYUK News. I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello. Kuyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.